Tell them, you guys packed. Was it quiet? Was the neighborhood get crazy or is it?
Did Ava dress up?
Oh, I'm sorry.
And everybody, it's my honor to call to order the Police Judicial and Legal Committee meeting for Monday, November 1st. It's good to see everybody here. It's weird being back in the small room. I'm used to the big chambers. Our agenda has been published. Item number 2 is approval of the minutes from the September 7th meeting. Do we have a motion, please?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number 3 is public comments. Is there anyone here that would like to make a public comment? Please come to the lectern, give your name and address. I thought the chief was going to make a public comment. You can. You're still a resident. All right, so we will move on to item number 4, police matters. There are no agenda items. Item 5 is judicial matters. There are no agenda items. Item 6, legal matters. A, an ordinance to repeal and replace Section 132 titled Noise of the Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances. So if y'all will lead us through this, Chief.
Good morning, Mayor, Council Member, Committee Members. I'm going to start off and then turn it over to Mac. I just wanted to brief you all after the last first reading. It was a request for the police department to go and do some measurements. We've done that. What you see is the current proposed, but I believe it's since been revised. This has been ongoing over the weekend, and Mac will talk about the specific decibel numbers a little bit more. Our measurements on Friday, October 29th, we took 2 measurements at each of these locations, and the only one that was as close to violating the proposed decibel levels was 2 blokes at 75, but it was still within. On a Friday at 6 in the evening, and then again at 8, almost 9 o'clock in the evening, those were the measurements that we took. We didn't receive any noise complaints. This was on a Sunday at 2 different times at these locations. If you'll see early Sunday morning, you can see the sound level at Shem Creek Park. And then again at 1 in the afternoon, slightly higher, Red's Heights House. Early in the morning, that's just Sunday early morning, what the measurements were at those locations. We did some additional measurements at different places. Kicking Chicken on the weekend was about 60 decibels outside their, right outside their business. Traffic on Coleman was 70, 75 decibels. Shem Creek at one point was as high as 70. We didn't receive any complaints at that level. We met with Post House, did some initial testing in their outdoor seated area, and asked them to turn their speakers up to 75 decibels. We took a reading across the street, and it was 55. So we recommend a little additional testing this week. We have another meeting scheduled with the Post House for 11-3, and then I want to try to reach out to Hobcob Brewing. That's another location that abuts private property, a residential property, I should say, and work with them a little bit more to address that aspect. I think the numbers for the area around, immediately around Shem Creek are fine, but we have some areas where I think it might need a little bit of adjusting before final reading. Mac.
Morning, Mayor, members of the committee.
Morning.
Proposed ordinance, the changes are highlighted on pages 3, 4, and 5. We have adjusted the decibel levels in accordance with the findings from the police department. We've also reintroduced section F, which is for horns and other similar sounds. That would cover making it unlawful to blow a horn. would make it unlawful for a commercial establishment to operate any sort of amplified sound at 60 decibels or above as measured anywhere within the boundary line of the nearest residentially occupied property. So similar to what the chief was just speaking about, when you have a bar or restaurant that abuts a residential property, that would address that scenario. And then lastly, section H, just so long as a manager is acting within his or her duties, that they won't be individually liable for a violation of this section.
Committee members?
Yes.
I just want to say thank you to the chief and to members of the department for going out there and taking those readings. I really appreciate it. That was my request, just so that we, as we move forward with this, that we do this the correct way so that we're not running into problems and having to amend this ordinance over and over again as issues arise. Thank you, Mac, also for this decibel reference chart. I think this is also very helpful to have sort of the CDC sort of giving guidelines as well, that we have a benchmark, that it's not just arbitrary, these numbers that are being chosen. Thanks for adding the employee liability. I know that was a concern of some members of council, that the manager was getting the fine and not the owner of the property. And then I have never mind. That's the next item on the agenda. Thank you.
Yep.
I was wondering if there's anything during COVID when we allowed activity on sidewalks or dining, more dining outside, that was expanded. Has that had any effect on why some of these areas have been noisier, like the Old Village area, or are they in an area that might be eliminated once the COVID?
It's contributed for sure. I don't believe it's contributed at a significant level, but there's no question that increased activity is heard and felt by neighboring residents. Mm-hmm. So as you suggested, hopefully one day by the pandemic and some of those restrictions start to close back in, uh-huh, there'll be a positive effect.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, I have wondered about that.
Yes.
So with the no employee liability, if there is a need for a ticket at some point for a repeat offender, who actually gets the ticket?
It would be the actual business.
So the business itself.
Yes,
and so if it's not paid, I guess it would, then they wouldn't be able to renew their business license, or what mechanism is there to like retrieve those fines?
I believe that this section 132 does provide a penalty clause in it, so I believe that there's some sort of fine assessment. That's not in 132.03. I think it's in Chapter 132 at large.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's not shown here on this.
Yeah.
Addressing any of the penalties.
Okay, so I guess what would be the penalty?
I believe it'd be a fine. I don't know off the top of my head. Probably $500 is generally where it's fine.
Okay. One other comment I had on this, and I don't know if I'm just not reading it correctly. So on page 3 at the bottom, under zoning district, it says daytime hours. Weekday, Monday through Thursday, daytime hours are 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then it says nighttime hours on a weekday are Monday through Thursday from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. So we're kind of missing from 9 to 11 there. So I think the nighttime hours should probably start at 9 p.m. is what I'm guessing it should be. I don't know if I'm just reading that incorrectly, but.
Yeah.
Under nighttime hours for?
So under page 3 at the bottom, so daytime hours on weekdays, it says 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and then it has weekday nighttime hours, 11 p.m. to 8 a.m. So there's 2 hours that are missing.
Where's that, Jake?
At the bottom of page 3.
Yeah. Which block?
The first block and the third block.
Okay.
So I think that the
good catch, Dave.
When we read or when we vote on an amended version at the next council meeting, that those weekday nighttime hours should start at 9.
Would we need an amendment, or is this just, I mean, this looks, is clearly just an, just a typo. Would we need an amendment at second reading?
The whole ordinance will be amended after first reading.
Okay.
So ultimately, whatever changes this committee makes, be presented to council, and then council can adopt all, some, or none of those amendments.
Yeah, because a lot of these numbers changed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Optimally, we would like it in a form that council can just simply adopt as amended the change, so.
So would you like a motion coming out of this committee for this version here with that additional correction? All right, I move that.
Second.
Tell us what the motion actually is.
Dadgummit. Help, sir.
Propose amendments as proposed to committee with the additional typographical error change.
You got that?
Agreed.
Okay.
And I second.
That's the motion and the second.
And I'll second it.
Okay, so we're in discussion. I got a couple of questions, if I may. What, do we have feedback from the restaurants about our decibel levels? Is that something that they're going to have trouble figuring out, or is that pretty standard for them to know this level?
I think it's standard, and we did have feedback. We worked with them. Initial meeting when this was in Recreation Committee initially when it started, they provided some input, and I think it's, once it's passed, many of them will probably buy their own decibel meters.
Right.
To periodically police themselves, if you will.
Right.
I think a couple of them already have them, so I think it's, I think it won't be an issue.
Okay. So I was curious as to how this would work if we got a call, and we all know the parts of towns where we're getting, you know, every weekend we're getting somebody saying, hey, I'm hearing noise, mostly from Shim Creek. So that on page 5 it says, as measured anywhere within the boundary line of the nearest residentially occupied property. So I'm just trying to figure out how this works for our staff. We get a call on a Saturday night, hey, I'm getting a lot of noise from Shim Creek. So according to this, do officers go to the residents and see what the sound is, or do we go to the source of it and see what the sound is?
Go to the...
Where the complaint's coming from.
The boundary line, right, of the property of the complainant.
Okay, and if...
The residents.
And, right, and if the decibel level, if it's not above what this says for that time, date, whatever, or if they're in the gap and they say, hey, it's free for all for 2 hours, party time. No, if it's in that level, even if the resident says, but it's disturbing me, it's loud, the ordinance says it's got to be this level or below and it's compliant, and there's no problem, right?
Correct.
Okay. And then I'm trying to figure out how, and I guess y'all got experience doing these, if you're at one residence in one part of Mount Pleasant hearing noise from Shim Creek, how do you know which location that noise is actually, which noise they're hearing when they've all got live music?
That would be a tough one if they all have live music at the same time.
Right. It would be hard to know which.
We'd have to have officers go to each business
okay.
to try to determine the best they could.
Right. Okay. And as we all know, sound over water travels very differently, and it can be hard to find the source of that sometimes.
Correct.
I just want to make sure if we do this, we're not creating something that is so complex that it's a nightmare for our officers or our, who is this all law enforcement or some of this code enforcement that handles this?
Most of the sound violations will be the police department.
Police department. I just want to make sure y'all that we're not, you know, creating something so complex that y'all dread weekends because, oh my gosh, I'm going to be standing in 12 yards with a decibel meter, you know?
I don't believe that'll happen, sir.
Okay. Good.
Now, as you pointed out, this says anywhere within the boundary line of the nearest residentially occupied property.
Right.
So does that's not really saying the person that's complaining, that's saying the nearest residential property, which might make it easier for the police that if we designate this is the closest to this business, this yard is the closest to the, then it would be those spots that where it's measured? not necessarily where the person's complaining.
Good point.
It says, you know, those could be as predetermined, I mean,
they could be.
By GPS.
An example of that would be Post House. Some of the residents are on the other side of the street. There is a residence that literally the property line adjoins or abuts Post House property. So the measurement would be from that one, which would be the closest.
So it's not from the person that's complaining, who could be two blocks away.
It may be, it may not be.
Right.
Sounds like you're only going to measure it at the closest.
Closest.
Which, of course, is going to be louder there than the person that's complaining that might be a block away.
Yeah.
And the other thing I was going to ask, you said we haven't determined penalty? You haven't been instructed to determine what was...
I believe there is a penalty clause in Section 132 as a whole for any violation of any provision of that chapter. But 132.03 doesn't contain that penalty.
So it's there, it's just not in this section?
Oh, okay. I was going to suggest that they lose, rather than their business license or whatever Jake was asking, that they lose the opportunity to have live music or, you know, rather than lose the business, they just lose the opportunity to make the noise, I would think, would make sense. But that's something I guess we can discuss.
Oh, I was just saying unpaid fines. Like, how do you really get the fines?
Oh, unpaid. Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, that.
Yes.
I guess to follow up on the mayor's thing, so originally I think we were going to have it measured from the property line of the business establishment. I don't know, it just seems cleaner that way than to try to measure, because like Laura was saying, if I'm not the resident that calls and complains, but I'm the nearest one, like an officer is going to randomly come to my yard, like I would be like, what is going on? I'd be freaked out. So I don't know about that.
Remind me where we stand on all this. We haven't done first reading, have we? Or did we?
Yes, sir.
Okay, these would be changes for second reading, right?
Yes, sir.
That's right. We did do first reading. Okay. Jake, I have the same question in that if the person being ticketed is the one producing the noise, why wouldn't we measure it from their property? Maybe law enforcement had... Maybe that was y'all's idea that we need to listen to. I'm just thinking, if that's the source, why not measure it at the source?
I believe it was originally measured at the property line of the source. But I think what happened with the handful of businesses that are so close, and that's why I said I'm a little concerned about the decibel level for places like Post House and Hobcaw Brewery, is measuring it at the property line at Bickeries or Reds, we can do that. That's fine. But when the property line abuts, it...
Right. Yes.
So basically, between now and Tuesday's meeting, there will be another suggested amendment for when a commercial business abuts a residential property. There'll be a separate set of regulations or a separate set of decibel levels for those properties. Is that the thought?
I would like to do the testing. And do that.
Great. Okay. So there'll be two charts.
And perhaps work on the language in terms of measuring from the residence property line or from the business property line.
Okay.
Yes.
I was going to say, in a way, it makes sense to measure it at the nearest residence because, you know, there could be a business really far.
Really, like, far away from everyone.
All in All Green or something, if it comes into the town of Mount Pleasant that nobody lives anywhere near. And so maybe they're not disturbing anybody for, you know, a mile away. But
the only variable I can think of with that would be if the speakers are pointed in the opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have speakers pointed away from that property, which is the nearest property.
Uh-huh.
And so
of property that might be further away, it would be much louder.
That's true.
It sounds going in a different direction, so.
Right.
So then.
Oh, that is true.
Or on Shim Creek, you could get more noise in Bayview with it coming across the marsh and the water than you're getting on Hadrill Street, which is right there. So, all right, okay. I think we've got a motion to incorporate these changes we got today. Y'all are going to do some more research, and it comes up at the next council meeting where it can be amended. So I think we've got enough to vote on today. All right, all in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Item B is amendment to Chapter 116 of Special Events Permits to exempt restaurants and bars from amplified music systems requirements. So let's explain what this is about. And thank you, Chief. Appreciate it. Yes, Matt.
The only change here is in C2, we're essentially taking out restaurants and bars from the permitting requirement for amplified music, but then they will still be subject to whatever's passed in the U.S. with respect to amplified music.
Right. And so this is only having to do with special events, right?
Yes.
So they are always going to be, I'm just trying to make sure I understand the contrast here. They will always be liable under the regular noise ordinance that we're just talking about. This just exempts them from the special permit because they're already subject to that. Is that right?
That's correct.
Got it. Okay.
And Mr. Mayor, this cleans up the issue we've had, because before, anytime they wanted to have amplified music, they had to go through the
right
tough to manage special permit process.
Got it.
So now they're out under the decibel thing, but it's still, if they want to have block parties or other larger events, then they would fall back under this at that point.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Is that clear? Mm-hmm. All right. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
I do have a question. So what, how are we defining? Okay, so special events are defined as like the block party. So just if there are, but this is activities with loudspeakers or amplified music systems. So if I am a restaurant and every Friday night I have live music, that's okay. I'm under the main sound noise ordinance. But if I'm going to have a block party, then I need to then I fall under the special event permit.
Yes, because then we're concerned not just about noise, but also about public safety and other things that have to be woven into a permit.
Okay, just want to make sure that it's clear what falls under what. Okay, thank you so much.
So are things like Party at the Point that they have at Charleston Harbor Resort and Marine, that's a special permit? Okay. But their regular Friday night when they just have acoustic music, that's not?
Correct.
Okay, got it. Yes?
I'm not sure I'm clear on how to define the two. They could say, oh, this is a normal Friday night.
Yeah,
or is it a special event? I mean, how do you
So luckily, for the most part, we have good communication with most of these establishments. And there is a degree where when the event organizer understands that this is going to be a larger than normal situation, we're in contact to make sure there's proper policing and perhaps paramedics and other things. So we would permit it as basically like a special event for them. And that's been very clean. We haven't had any issues with that whatsoever. But if they're having just a regular event sort of within their own boundaries that is a typical type situation, they would fall under the decibel meter readings at that point. So we feel good about this. Cleans up a whole lot of stuff for us.
Okay.
Great. Thank
you. Any other discussion? All right. All in favor of the motion, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion passes.
Thank you.
Concludes item 6B. Item 7 is to adjourn. If there's nothing before this committee, we stand adjourned. Thank you.
Chief, thank you for all your work on that.